السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. نحمدہ ونصلی علی رسولہ الکریم، اما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہوا قولی رب زدنا علما اللہم فقہنا فی الدین اللہم انا نسألک علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طیبا اللہم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمین یا رب العالمین. Inshallah, we're going to do ayat 67 and 68 of Surah Al-Ma'idah today, inshallah. We'll start off with the word meanings, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuha, ar-rasulu, the messenger, balligh, convey. This is a command. Ma, whatever, unzila, was sent down or was revealed, ilayka, ilay, to, ka, you. Min, from, Rabbi, Lord, Creator, Master, Sustainer, ka, yours. Wa, and, in, if, lam, did not, taf'al, you do. Fa'ala means to do, ta in the beginning means you. So taf'al, you do, fa, then, ma, not, ballaghta. Now this word comes from the word ballagh that we just covered above, which means to convey. So ballagh, conveyed, ta, you. Risalata, message, who, his, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's message. Wallahu, wa, and Allahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yausimuka, yausimu, he saves or he protects, ka, you, min, from, annas, the people or the mankind. Inna, indeed, Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la, does not, yahdi, he guide. Huda is the root word and that means guidance. Ya in the beginning tells us this word is in the third person and it refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here. And this is a verb. So yahdi, he guides, al-qawm, the nation or the people, al-kafirin, those who disbelieve. Al in the beginning means the, and kafir means a disbeliever, and ina ending makes this word plural. So al-kafirin, the disbelievers. Qul, say, this is a command. Ya ahla, oh, ya means oh, ahla, people. Al-kitabi, al means the, and kitab means book. And there's a kasra underneath the ba at the end. So it shows that this is possessive. It shows ownership. So ya ahl al-kitabi, O people of the book. Okay. Lastum, las, are not, tum, all of you, ala, upon, shay'in, anything, hatta, until, tuqimu, you all establish firmly. Iqama means to stand firmly. Okay, to establish. Tu in the beginning means you, and waw alif in the end of this verb tells us this word is plural. So tuqimu, you all establish firmly. At-tawrata, al means that, and tawrata, Torah. Wa, and al-injil, al means that, and injil, gospel. Wa, and ma, whatever, unzila, was sent down or revealed, ilaykum, ilay, to, kum, all of you, min, from, rabbikum, rabb, Lord, Creator, Master, Sustainer, kum, yours. Wala yazidanna, wa, and la, surely, this is the short la, lam fatha. Because if we stretch this la, this word would mean exactly the opposite of what it does mean. Okay, so please do not read this as wala yazidanna. This is wala yazidanna. La is short. Wala yazida and surely will definitely increase. And the shadda on the noon, that the tashdeed, just adds more emphasis to this word. So wala yazidanna actually means, and surely he will definitely increase. Kathiran, many. Minhum, min, from. Hum, them. Ma, whatever. Unzila, was sent down. Ilayka, ilay, to. Ka, you. Min, from. Rabbika, rab, lord. Ka, yours. Tughyanan, in rebellion. Wa, and. Kufra, in disbelief or denial. And please note that the word wala yazidanna means, and surely he definitely increases. Okay, so it's not just for the future, it goes for now as well, for the present time. So back to where we left off here. Rabbika tughyana wa kufra, in rebellion and disbelief. Fala, fa, so, la, do not. Ta'sa, you be sorrowful. Ta in the beginning means you. Ala, upon. Al qawm, the people or nation. Al gafirin, those who disbelieve or hide the truth. Alhamdulillah. Now we're going to start off with the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The ayat that we've been learning about, the people of the book, should be a wake-up call for the Muslim Ummah. Okay, all the things that we've been learning about them recently. Because the people of the book became ad-dalin and maghdubi alayhim because of their actions, because of the things they did. Okay, so all the things we have been learning about them is basically sent as a warning for us as well, that we should avoid doing those things because they became the ones who went astray, the dalin, and those who incurred the wrath of Allah, the maghdubi alayhim. Okay, even though they were the chosen ones before, but because of their crimes that they committed and their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they incurred the wrath of Allah and became the dalin. A lot of Muslims are following in their footsteps when it comes to certain things now, instead of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we should remember what happened to the chosen ummah before as a result of being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in ayah number 67, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially addresses Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya ayyuha rasul, O the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, balligh, convey. Now, what was he told to convey? It wasn't any gossip or news that many people like to spread. But he was told to convey something very important, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind. And as his ummah, we are also responsible for conveying that message. So what was it that he had to convey? Ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. What was revealed to you from your Lord? So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ordered to tell people about the wahi, the divine revelation that he was receiving from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was told to convey that message exactly as he received it, without any changes. A lot of times, people find it difficult to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to others because they're afraid of offending the other person. And they don't want to risk losing their friendship or the other person turning against them for that reason. So they don't bother doing it. People think it's safe to avoid saying anything that the other person doesn't want to hear. So they only say sweet things to please the other person, even when they're doing dawa. This is what people do with deen. Okay, when they're trying to do dawa, even with deen, they do this. And they fail to state the truth because they're afraid of offending other people. They change the message in such a way so as not to say anything to displease that other person that they're speaking to. To kind of be lenient on that person. However, that is not what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. He spoke to the polytheists directly to tell them that they were wrong to worship idols. He didn't just say the things that would make them happy. He told them everything straight out. He never told them that they're all on the same path and that the polytheist beliefs are fine because they do believe in God. Okay, he never said, oh, we're all okay. He did not do that. They believed in many gods, so they were not on the right path, and that's what he told them. He stated the truth. Of course, people don't like it when someone tries to tell them that they're wrong. When, you know, they're doing something wrong. They don't want to hear it. Even when they're straying. So we have to be wise when conveying the message. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that as well. He was wise. He used his hikmah, his wisdom, to convey the message in the best possible way. Before he did dawah, before he invited anyone to Islam, he planned ahead of time, okay, about how he would start off and what he would tell them, about how he would effectively use logic to guide them so they would understand that they're not being sensible. That's what we should do too. But we cannot say to the disbelievers that, oh, we're all fine just the way we are. We're all the same. There's no difference in our beliefs and theirs and so on. That's not allowed. If we tell them such things, we are not conveying the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mankind. And we're not doing them any good by doing that. Because there's no way of them attaining guidance if we keep on telling them that they're right. So we have to state the haq, say the truth. And it takes courage to do that. It's not easy. We know that the people who really respected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam suddenly became his enemies when he tried to present the haq clearly. Right? And it's because he told them that they were wrong to worship idols. He did not compromise, even though they tried to make him do it. They wanted him to worship their idols 1 year, and they said that they would believe in and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the next year. So they wanted to compromise. That's what they offered to do. They wanted him to be flexible so they wouldn't have to stop worshiping their idols. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do that. He was not allowed to do that. He had to state the truth exactly as it was. And that's what we have to do as well. As his ummah. If Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used a different approach to convey the message, like if he had been more flexible and accepting of their ideas, they would have never learned about the actual truth. They wouldn't have found out what the true religion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually is. It's because he said the right thing straight out that they became his enemies, because they didn't want to hear it. He told them that the end would be Jahannam if they continued following the path that they were on. And they didn't want to hear it. But it was his responsibility to warn them. And just as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was assigned that responsibility of conveying the message to people, his ummah is responsible for doing that too. because no more rasuls will be sent to guide people. There will be no more messengers that are sent. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to balligh, which means to deliver the message, no matter what anyone thinks or says about him. Even if people opposed him, he had to state the truth. But of course, while he did that, he didn't lose his temper or start causing a scene just because he was telling the truth. Because a lot of times, people go overboard. They get really emotional and they start bad-mouthing others, or they lose their temper while they're trying to do dawah to others. But that's not how we were taught to do dawah. Okay? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used his wisdom. He remained calm when he delivered the message, but he made sure to only state the truth. Okay? Do it in a nice way. Do it calmly, wisely, but only say the truth. That's what we have to do as well. Now, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when someone disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from a group of people and the others don't stop him, even when they have the power to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his punishment upon all of them. Astaghfirullah. So this hadith teaches us to stop people when we see them disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are able to do so, we should try to stop them. We can't just ignore what they're doing. Even when we have the power to stop them and we have a say, we should not ignore it. When you have the power to guide them, to tell them, because you have ilm, you have knowledge, it must be done. And we just have to say the truth, even if the other person doesn't listen. Okay, that's not something we need to worry about. We can't force people to accept. We just have to make them aware of what they're doing. Okay, so maybe they'll stop whatever disobedience they are caught up in. Don't worry about their reaction or what they're going to think. It doesn't matter. We have to do our part, which is to just state the truth. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask people why they didn't convey the message to others. And that person will say, "Oh Allah, I was afraid to tell them." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him or her, "I had a right to be feared instead of people." So we should be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not other people. And we have to tell others what we know about Islam, whatever we learn, without any hesitation. Don't worry about what they're going to say. This is what gets in the way for a lot of people, that they're worried about what others are going to think of them or what they're going to say in response. And they don't want others to judge them for telling them about Islam, so they just don't do it. But as Muslims, we can't do that. We can't overlook and ignore our responsibility just because we're afraid of what others are going to think. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned us that responsibility of conveying the message as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ummah. So if we don't do it, the truth gets covered, it's hidden, and falsehood prevails. And people follow the falsehood more. So we have to do our part. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was strictly told, "Wa illam taf'al," and if you do not do it, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Fama ballaghta risalata," then you have not conveyed the message. Then you are not doing justice to your mission. Now, this means that if he did not state the truth exactly as he had received it, if he even concealed one thing out of everything that he received, one thing from people that he hid or he didn't tell people, out of all the things he learned and he conveyed to them, it would have been like him not having conveyed the message. Okay? Just because he missed one thing, it would have meant that he did not do his work properly. Astaghfirullah. So he did make sure to do it properly. And the word risala means message. So if he had not conveyed the message accurately, it would have meant that he didn't fulfill his responsibility of conveying the message to mankind. If he left anything out, he would have failed to fulfill his responsibility as a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it was a great responsibility that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fully aware of how important his work was. He knew. And that's why he spent all the years after prophethood just doing da'wah, telling people about Islam, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling them the truth. Even towards the end of his life, at the farewell pilgrimage, he stood in front of so many people. He addressed a lot of sahaba and he said, because he sensed that it might be his last hajj, he told them to watch and learn the ways of worship and hajj from him, to learn the manasik from him, so they would know what to do when he wasn't with them any longer. Because he kind of had a sense that this would be his last. According to a Sahih Muslim hadith, during the sermon, he said to people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question you about me. He will ask, did he convey the message to you? Now, why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask people? We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything already, right? And of course, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did deliver the message. So why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala going to ask people? Because people are going to try to deny it. They will deny that they knew the truth or that they even heard the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask people directly if the message was delivered to them. The disbelievers and the polytheists will say no. We never received a message. We never found out about it. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his sahaba as witnesses in this life to tell them what they would say when they're questioned about him near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, he wanted to hear. He wanted them to tell him what they're going to say when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks them if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed the message of Allah to them. He asked, "Hal ballaghtu?" Meaning, have I delivered the message? And they all responded, "Qad ballaghta wa adaita wa nasahta." So they said, "Qad ballaghta, surely you have delivered. Wa'adaita, and you have done justice to your work. Wa nasahta, and you have done nasiha, you have guided us." This is what the Sahaba said. They didn't just say "Qad ballaghta," meaning that you have surely delivered. Okay, they went on to say even more because he cared so much. They all agreed that he had done it the way it should have been done, to the level of ihsan, to the best level possible. And he had advised them too. And even after this, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked up towards the sky and he said, "Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. Oh Allah, bear witness. Oh Allah, bear witness. Oh Allah, bear witness." He said this 3 times, meaning that he had delivered the message. He had fulfilled his responsibility, and the people there testified that he had delivered the message. It was a very important task that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was assigned to do. Imagine if someone assigns us a responsibility. If we don't fulfill that responsibility properly, if we don't carry it out properly, or only do half the things that we were supposed to do, we are held accountable. And the other person tells us that we didn't fulfill our responsibility, right? They're not happy. So think about the great mission Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given of conveying to others whatever was revealed to him from Allah. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did convey everything to us exactly as it was revealed to him. Alhamdulillah. According to Sahih Bukhari, Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Whoever says to you that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam concealed any of the orders of Allah that were revealed to him, know that that person is a liar." So this is something we should keep in mind, because today there are some people who say that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam only told Ali radiallahu anhu certain things, or that he only told Ibn Abbas certain things, that he gave them some special knowledge exclusively that was not given to anyone else. But that's not true. Ali radiallahu anhu said himself, "I have nothing written down, nor do I have a book besides the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a Muslim person." Subhanallah. So that's all Ali radiallahu anhu knew. He didn't have any special instructions or messages that were given to him alone by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So nobody can accuse Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of secretly revealing something to Ali radiallahu anhu, or telling him something and saying that he shouldn't tell others. Neither did he ever hide the truth from others himself, nor did he tell any one of his sahabi something that the others didn't know. He told people what was revealed to him. He told everyone. Anyone who accuses Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of hiding the haqq, the truth that he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is lying. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him in the Quran, "It is not suitable for you to conceal anything out of the truth. If you do that, it's as if you have not delivered the truth as it had to be done." So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did as he was told. He delivered the truth exactly as he received it. One beautiful hadith tells us, "I haven't left out anything that can bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and distance you from Jahannam. I have ordered you to do all those things. I have told you all these things." Okay, so he did not hide anything from us. He told us everything he knew, all the ways that we can be brought closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told us about all the things that we can do to distance ourselves from Jahannam. So after knowing this, we can't believe people who randomly claim that they had a dream about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he told them certain things. Okay, he gave them some special guidance or instructions. That doesn't happen. If people claim such things, they're basically saying that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling them something that he did not tell people during his lifetime, that he kept from the people, or as if he had forgotten to tell them. Astaghfirullah. Na'udhu billah. Why would Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam not have told the former Muslims about it? All those people who passed from 1400 years ago till now, why would he have kept? any special instructions from those people. It's not like he would not have told them, or that he would have deprived them of doing something good that he is telling people about now in their dreams all of a sudden. That wouldn't have been fair. Imam Malik says anyone who says such a thing is basically saying that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not honest in delivering the message. Na'udhu billah. Why would he not have told the people before us about good things they could have done? The reason why we can't follow people who come up with innovations in deen now, people who come up with new things, bid'at, that they do in deen, it's because they're basically inferring that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't deliver the complete message. So they're adding to it now, because they're just so wise, or they're receiving messages, so more has to be done. Astaghfirullah. So no matter how good that action may be that they're doing, or they're telling others to do, we will not do it if Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the noble Sahaba did not do it. Okay, we're not supposed to do it. So when people ask, what's wrong with doing good things, even if they're not according to the teachings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because a lot of people say that, so what's wrong with doing it, even if it's something new in deen, it's only something good. The thing is, they should know that when they do whatever they're doing, or they're telling others to do it, they're basically adding to deen, and they're accusing Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam of forgetting to tell them something, or failing, na'udhu billah, to tell them something that could have helped them earn great rewards, or that he forgot, na'udhu billah, to tell them something that can get people to Jannah. Astaghfirullah. They act like people remembered about it after him. But keep in mind that all these bid'at, all these innovations that people added in deen, were all made up by people much later after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, just because they really liked doing something, or they wanted to follow what they saw their parents do, they just kept doing it, and they still do. The people after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who came directly after him, they knew how wrong it would have been to do that, so they did not even dare to even think of coming up with new things to add to Islam. Okay, they didn't do anything like that. They never came out with innovations in deen. It was much later that people started coming up with things. Remember, we have to stick to Islam exactly as it was conveyed to us by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do things. The other things that people add to deen, claiming that their family has always done things that way, or it's a tradition, those things are not acceptable. Just because it's a tradition in their family does not mean it's a part of religion. Islam only orders what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. That's what we need to do, instead of following our family traditions that may even be going against Islam. If they go against Islam, we have to stop doing them. We have to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam delivered to us honestly. The messages, we have to follow them. Everything that was revealed to him, he did convey to us. He was so worried about conveying the complete message to us accurately. So nobody can accuse him of hiding something from deen that should have been told. People like us cannot define the things that can lead to forgiveness or get us to Jannah. And we can come up with ways of earning great rewards. Okay, we're not capable of doing that. We don't know about these matters. The deen belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to take it from Him. Only He can tell us the ways to earn rewards or seek forgiveness and get to Jannah. Nobody else can make up things and add to deen. All the angels are very honest, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the leader of all those trustworthy angels, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam, Jibreel al-Amin, to reveal the truth, to reveal the wahi, the divine revelation to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Angel Jibreel was chosen. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam honestly delivered the message to everyone, all the people, very accurately. And so did the Sahaba, his noble companions. They delivered that message to mankind. They spread to all different parts of the world. They traveled to be able to convey the message to people. They traveled far just to be able to do their work. Now it's our job to convey that message to others exactly as we received it, without mixing anything to it, without adding anything to it or mixing anything with it, just because we like to do something. We have no right to do that. What we like or what we prefer is not better or more important than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered. So our job is to simply convey the message exactly as it is. Many times when people try to convey the message to the non-Muslims, when they want them to believe, when they want to try to convince them to accept Islam, or even when they're telling other Muslims, they distort the teachings of Islam. They kind of twist the teachings. But we must remember that we just have to deliver the message. We're not responsible for trying to convince people to accept the truth. Okay, we have to do our part. We cannot change the message. If the main point is lost, or we change the message as we're telling that person just because we want others to accept it, there's no point. We're not even doing it then properly. We have to baligh, meaning that we have to just deliver that message exactly as it is. And this is what the Rasuls were told to do too. Just deliver that message. Baligh. The reason why the Christians have strayed so far from the truth is because they just wanted to get others to accept their religion, to adopt their religion. And because of that, they twisted and changed the teachings of their religion. They added things to it. When others ask us about Islam and about all the things that are forbidden in Islam, when they say, oh, is this forbidden? Is that forbidden? We have to say yes, honestly, that they are forbidden when they're asking about haram things. But we must try to tell them in a wise way. Okay, when they're interested in Islam, but they're asking you about things that are not acceptable in Islam, about things that they won't be allowed to do anymore, we have to be wise, okay, when speaking to them. And we should say to them in a wise way that they have to stop committing shirk first, that they have to stop associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, because that is the most important thing. And then they can learn in detail about the other things. However, we cannot deny that the forbidden things are haram. When they ask us, we have to say, yes, that is haram. Okay? We can't act like the scholars just made up those things on their own, astaghfirullah. Because the things that are haram were forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to state the truth exactly as it is. We can't change it because of what other people prefer to hear. And we can't say that those orders don't apply anymore and they were only meant for the former times just because we want to please people. We can't say such things. That is not allowed. We have to convey the message. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ballighu anni walau aya." Deliver the message from me, even if it's just one ayah. We get so many chances to deliver the message to people, but many times we don't even bother. The Sahaba fulfilled their responsibility of conveying the message to others. After Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they worked hard to carry on that mission. And then those who came afterwards did the same. And so did the ones after them, and so on. They all did their part. Now we have to fulfill our responsibility as well, as Muslims. We should remember that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to convey the message of Allah, even if it's just one ayah. A lot of times people are afraid to tell others about the message of Allah because they worry that others will harm them for doing it or be hostile to them. But Mujahid said that when this order came to convey whatever was revealed to others, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Allah, I am alone and all these people will team up against me. How can I do it?" That's when the next phrase was revealed from the part that starts from وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ. And if you do not convey the message which has been revealed to you, you are not doing justice to your mission. From this part to the next, this came after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala how he could possibly convey the message when he's alone and there are so many others who would team up against him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَ. And then he said, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from the people. He will save you from the mischief of the people. Before this ayah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be alert all the time. And people used to guard him to protect him from any harm that others may try to cause. Aisha radiallahu anha said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam woke up one night and he was not able to go back to sleep. I asked, "Ya Rasulullah, what's wrong today?" And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "If only there was a Sahabi who would be so kind to guard me." She says he was still saying this when I heard the sound of weapons. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked who was there outside, the man said it was Sa'd bin Malik. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him why he had come, and Sa'd bin Malik said, "To guard you for the night." Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to sleep properly. This is a Bukhari and Muslim narration. But after this ayah was revealed, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba who used to guard him to go, because he was now protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't need them to watch over him anymore because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that he would protect him himself from the mischief of people. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam all throughout his life. Not just after this ayah, but he was protected by Allah all through his life. But this was meant to make him feel more comfortable, like he was under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had protected him even before, in Mecca. Even though his paternal uncle, Abu Talib, was a disbeliever, he protected and loved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much. He was chosen as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's guardian. He loved and respected his nephew so much that he was willing to stand against anyone for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't allow anyone to threaten him or hurt him in any way. He always defended him. After Abu Talib passed away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Ansar start loving Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he went to Medina. There were the hypocrites and the Jews around them there too, who constantly tried to plot against Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to harm him. The Jews were especially sneaky with their plots, and they tried their best to harm him one way or another. They tried black magic to harm him. Then they even tried to get rid of him by offering him to eat the goat meat that they had poisoned. Once they tried to throw something heavy at him from high above to try to crush him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him all throughout. Once Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was resting in the shade of a thick tree that the Sahaba had found for him. Like they did whenever they traveled, they would find the shade of a tree for him to rest under. He was resting under that tree in the shade when a Bedouin came and took Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sword that had been hanging from the tree. He took hold of it and he said, "Now tell me who will save you." Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save me." The man's hands started shaking at that time, and the sword fell from his hands. Also, we learn from Ibn Abi Hatim, after the expedition of Dhat al-Rika, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat at a well in a garden of dates. A polytheist man named Faris said to his people, "Watch, I'm going to kill him now." People asked him how, and he told them that he would come up with an excuse to approach him and take his sword and then just attack him once to finish him off. So he approached Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he asked if he could see his sword. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave it to him. But as soon as that man took hold of the sword, he started to shake to the point where it just fell out of his hands. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Allah has come between you and your bad intentions, that he has intervened." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam countless times, wherever he went. Wallahu yasimuka minan nas. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you from the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who protects people who do any work for deen. People who try to convey the truth to others, he protects them. So of course, he protected his prophets. They were the chosen ones. They have many enemies. They had many enemies that suddenly arose, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them so they could continue doing their work for deen and continue with their lives. And he does this for people who work for his cause, for Islam. He protects them so that they can continue doing their work and they can continue on with their lives. Inna Allah la yahdi al-qawm al-kafirin. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not guide the people who disbelieve. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Rest assured, that he wouldn't let the disbelievers succeed against him. And if we connect this ayah to the last ayah, it means that people who plotted to kill or harm Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not obtain guidance. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ Say, O people of the book, لَسْتُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ حَتَّى You are not upon anything until... Now what does this mean? That you have no ground to stand on. لَسْتُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ You have no value in the sight of Allah حَتَّى Until... تُقِيمُ التَّوْرَاةَ You observe the Torah. This is the reason why they didn't have any value, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Until they observed the Torah and followed its rules in their lives, and then told the people around them about it as well, and implemented the rules in society practically, they had no value, according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had to judge according to the Torah, if they wanted to hold any value in the sight of Allah. We already learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever does not judge according to what Allah revealed is a disbeliever, a wrongdoer, someone who transgresses. So anyone who doesn't judge according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed is a disbeliever, a wrongdoer, and someone who transgresses. So it's really important to implement the rules of the book in society, because that's the reason it was revealed. Not just to read to be able to earn good deeds, it has to be implemented in our lives. And the whole system has to run according to it. The rules the book gives us are meant to be followed in all aspects of life, our personal lives and in society as a whole, in all matters. The book was meant to change people's lives so they could learn it and live their lives according to it and follow it. It was meant to guide people. So they're told to firmly establish the Torah, to observe it. والإنجيل and the gospel وما أنزل إليكم من ربكم and other revelations that have come to you from your Lord. So the Torah and the gospel, of course, were meant to be followed in their original form before they were changed by people, and then the revelations that came to you from your Lord. This part is talking about the Quran. So now that we have the latest version, the Quran, this is what needs to be followed. Because the other books have been changed by people. Until you implement the rules of these books as they had come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are nothing. This is what this ayah means. Okay, for the people before who were meant to follow the Torah, and those who were meant to follow the gospel, they were meant to let the books guide what they were supposed to do in life. And that's what we are supposed to do with the Quran. Seek guidance from it. This is what this ayah means. And for us today, even if we don't live in a place where Islamic law is carried out, at least we should follow it ourselves in our own personal lives. Nobody stops us from implementing it in our lives, right? So we should be following it ourselves at least, even if the people around us in society do not follow it. Okay? There are actual stages of establishing the book in our lives, of observing the book in our lives. And we start off with our own self, okay? And then we move on to others around us and so on. And that's why we do dawah. But even if the whole world started to follow the rules of the book and we didn't, we would be the losers even if I'm alone, to not follow, I would be the loser and everyone else would succeed. And if nobody in this world implemented its rules, but we try to do it in our lives, at least we could say, we will be able to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, this is all I was capable of doing. I couldn't do more than that. I couldn't force people, but I did what I could. At least that would show that we tried. It shows effort. But as for the people of the book who don't implement the rules in their lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they have no value in His sight. Now, we should ask ourselves, can we honestly say that we are ready to implement the rules of the book and that we're trying to implement whatever we're learning of the Quran? Or are we just studying it without implementing what it teaches us? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says we have no value in His sight until we observe the book. Think about how important the book is. This surah has been telling us over and over again to convey the message to others, to tell others about this book. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed, to tell others about it. And that means the Quran and the Hadith. The Quran are the actual words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Hadith are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say certain things. He instructed him to say certain things to be able to guide us. So even if it's not the exact words of Allah, it was under His guidance, according to His instructions, that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us those ahadith. So we have to try to implement the Quran and the Hadith in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us so many times in this surah to firmly establish the book, to let it judge between us when we live among people in society, and even at our homes. This is what we should use to judge between people. But so many people are not willing to follow it. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that anyone who does not judge according to it is unjust. But a lot of people still ask if it's fard to learn and understand what the Quran tells us. They argue that it's not mandatory, it's not obligatory. But if we don't bother to learn it, how can we possibly implement it in life when we don't even know what it says? Because in order to firmly establish it, we have to understand it and find out what it tells us. That's why it was sent. That was the purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a whole list of things to do after it was revealed. After saying unzila ilayka, He tells us what it was sent to do. Those are the things that we need to do. We're not just supposed to read the Quran and put it aside as if we have done everything we need to without implementing it. It's really sad to see that this is what's happening to the Muslims nowadays. A lot of them. Okay, they read it, but then they don't try to follow it. It's really easy to just read it, right? But we have to practically follow what it tells us to do. We have to live our lives according to it. وَلَيَزِيدَنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ طُغْيَانًا وَكُفْرًا. And surely, this revelation which has come to you from your Lord will definitely increase the rebellion and disbelief of many. Instead of establishing the rules of the Quran and implementing them, many of the people will increase in rebellion and disbelief. After learning about the wahi which has come to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning the Quran and Hadith, they should have increased in guidance, but they increased in rebellion and denial instead. And as we learned before, this doesn't mean that the Quran can be blamed for their disbelief. Instead, they are the ones to blame for their straying. It's because of the disease in their hearts that they don't obtain guidance from the Quran, even though so many others did, and they still do. If we think about the noble Sahaba, it was because of this Quran that they became the noble, respected companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, subhanallah, meaning that Allah was pleased with them and they were pleased with him. They earned that title because of the guidance they obtained from the Quran, subhanallah. Some companions became of the Ashra Mubashara, those who got glad tidings of Jannah in this life while living in this world. They were given good news of Jannah because of this Quran. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived around them before too, but it was after the revelations that they became the noble Sahaba and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was pleased with them because they valued and implemented this ilm in their lives. And the Quran does change people's lives. If anyone's life has not changed after reading the Quran, if they haven't reformed their ways, we can't blame the Quran for it. It's due to the disease in that person's heart that they don't do what they're supposed to. Remember Umar radiallahu anhu? He was on his way to try to kill Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he heard the Quran. And as soon as he heard the recitation, the condition of his heart changed completely. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Umar, when Umar passes from somewhere, Shaitan changes his path to avoid him. Subhanallah, Shaitan was afraid of him. That's how righteous Umar radiallahu anhu became after hearing the Quran. That's how the Quran affects people's hearts. There are so many people we see around us who are easily doing so many things now, practicing Islam, alhamdulillah, in so many ways that they used to say are very difficult for them to do. They used to say, oh, this is something I can't do. I just can't do this. It's not possible. But alhamdulillah, they're doing it now. It all becomes possible because of the Quran. Many of us experience this in our lives. And then we look back to the things we used to do before and we think that we were so foolish to do those things. We don't like those things anymore. And we can't figure out why we enjoyed doing them before. Why they interested us. And how did that change take place within us? Through the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the Quran. That's how it gradually changes the state of people's hearts, when they don't even realize it. Those of you who are soft-hearted, those who aren't arrogant, change so much as they go through the Quran. And they light up the lives of others around them too, as if they're walking with a nur, a light. Subhanallah. But as for others, they seek so much knowledge of it, but it doesn't change the condition of their hearts at all. And even worse are those who just increase in transgression and denial. Even after learning it, they stray even farther from the right path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Quran a means of obtaining guidance, a means of changing our lives according to it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا تَأْسَ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. So you should not grieve for the disbelievers. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried his best to guide them because he had seen Jahannam when he ascended from Miraj to the heavens. He had seen Jahannam and he had seen Jannah, and he knew what would happen to people if they continued to disbelieve, and he really cared for them. He wanted to save them somehow, but they were not willing to listen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him not to be sorrowful upon the disbelievers, not to be worried about them, to grieve over them so much. This is how the prophets were to their people. They were so caring and so kind, so affectionate. They only wanted the best for their people. But some people were just not willing to listen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him not to worry about them so much. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta samiul alim. Wa tubu alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.